It's time for another trip into the golden history of Hollywood and another podcast from the Warner Archive Collection. I'm George Feltenstein, and I'm so proud to be joined today by one of the most famous voice talents in the history of television and theatrical animation. And you also know her from various motion pictures and television appearances where she appeared as herself, not just her voice. The very, very wonderful Miss Janet Waldo is joining us today, and we're very happy to have you here on this podcast. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. I love your introduction. I'd like you to repeat it several times.
I think you're probably best known to all of our listeners as the voice of Judy Jetson.
And I realize that. I mean, that's where I get most of my attention and my fan mail.
And the Jetsons is one of the most popular series in the history of Hanna-Barbera.
I love it. I love it. I love it to this day. I still listen to it and watch it and am thrilled with it.
And was that the first role that you did at Hanna-Barbera?
That was the very first cartoon I ever did in my life.
Wow.
I was doing a series with Tony, an on-camera series with Tony Franciosa called Valentine's Day. I don't suppose you remember it.
I do, with Jack Sue.
That's right.
One season on ABC.
Well, you remember everything. Well, I was doing that series, and my agent called me and said, do you want to audition for a cartoon? And I said, a cartoon? And then he said, yes, it's called, you know, The Jetsons. It's a new cartoon. And I went over and auditioned for it, and I got it.
Wow. And you ended up being part of the Hanna-Barbera family for the next 3 or 4 decades, I would imagine.
I would say that. I was so fortunate because I was hired for the voice of Judy Jetson. But then when I was working with all these fantastic people, Dawes Butler, everybody,
Don
Gene
Messick,
Vanderpile,
yes.
They all could do so many, many different voices. And so I asked Joe Barbera, could I do some other voices besides Judy? And he said, make me a tape. So I was married to my wonderful, famous husband at that time.
Robert E. Lee, the great playwright of Inherit the Wind and Auntie Mame. And
you are so informed. That's wonderful. Well, I'm so glad you know about him because he wrote me some dialogue, and I made a tape of it, and of course, he wrote all these far-out characters that were way, way far from Judy Jetson, and the first part, one of the first parts he gave me was the mother-in-law on the Flintstones.
Mrs. Slaghoople.
That's right. I'd never done a voice like that before, but I gave Joe the tape, and he figured I could do it. Joe also interviewed me on the phone shortly after I started doing the Jetsons and said, can you do a little old lady? And I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, try it. And I ad-libbed a few things, and then I got the part of Granny Sweet in, with Dawes Butler. Well, anyway, she was a little old lady.
That was on the Adam Ant Show, I think.
I did the Adam Ant Show, but
right.
No, this was a whole cartoon, Little Old Lady on a Motorbike.
That's
and
right.
It was Granny Sweet.
And that was
and she had a doggy, and Don Messick did the dog.
Yes.
And it became famous, and he also did the dog on the Jetsons.
Astro.
Yes. And I always asked him why he stole from himself and did the same dog for Scooby-Doo.
Now, I'm going to leave Hanna-Barbera and go back a little bit about how you got into show business. Is it true that you won a talent contest and were discovered by a very famous, legendary talent in the entertainment industry?
Yes, you're talking about Bing Crosby?
Yes.
Well, I was told don't even talk about Bing Crosby because nobody will remember him, but you remember him.
Everybody knows Bing Crosby.
I think they do, too. I think that was very bad advice. Well, anyway, I was in school, and I was always performing from the time I was 3 years old, which is when I decided I wanted to be an actor, because I did a doll on some kind of a program, and when I went, Mama, they thought, oh, you know, they laughed, and I loved the laughter. So I decided, that's what I want to do. I want to be an actor. But I entered the contest, Bing Crosby's contest, and I won it, and he brought me and my mother to Hollywood for a contract at Paramount Studios, a 3 months contract. And I was there for a year and a half, and I did in that time a lot of films, bits and pieces, mm-hmm. And I also did, oh, I did so many things.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about was after you left Paramount, this relates to something that we just released. We just released a movie called Bandit Trail. With Tim Holt in our Tim Holt Westerns
gosh,
collection.
Oh, my gosh, you've even gone back to Westerns.
Yes, and that was,
I did that in between contracts.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I was like, it has to be the same person. And it is. It's
I,
you.
It is. It's me. I did 4 Westerns, 2 with Tim Holt and 2 with another person. And they were great fun. I enjoyed them. And in those days, I was very young and very kind of dumb, and I didn't know that they had stunt people doing things, and they asked me to roll down the hill, you know, because I was thrown from the horse, and I rolled down the hill, and one of the actors said to me, "You shouldn't do that. That's supposed to be a stunt person."
We have 2 Tim Holt collections, and Bandit Trail is in the first volume, and it's become a very popular release.
You're kidding!
And it's people are discovering these Westerns all over again. But I did want to bring that up because while we're primarily going to talk about the world of Hanna-Barbera today, I also wanted to mention that you have another place within our Warner Archive collection in these Tim Holt Westerns.
Goodness.
So
really
we want to celebrate that as well. And then radio followed after that, correct?
Yes, radio. I was very, very fortunate to get into radio, but it was a comfortable place for me to be because I was comfortable with acting. And radio actors were all, you know, mostly in those days from the theater. I mean, they were very, very good actors, and I was knowledgeable about acting, but I was given my own show called Meet Corliss Archer.
Right.
Did you ever hear that?
Oh, very. I'm a big old radio fan, so I've heard the recordings.
You are amazing. You ought to write a book. Well, I loved doing Corliss, and fortunately for me, they opened the show with, "She's just 15, but she'll love you forever if you think she's much, much older." And I thought, gee, I've been 15 for a long time. I dialed my age in the Jetsons.
That's right. So I also need to mention to our listeners that they might also recognize your voice from a very famous role you did on television after the radio period in the early days of television, an episode called The Young Fans of a somewhat known television series called, let me see if I can remember the name, I Love Lucy.
Oh, I'm so glad you remember that. I had such fun doing that, working with Lucy and Desi, and I was thrilled to be on it. And you know that to this day, I get much and fan mail from people who love that show. And when I sign autographs, they come up to me and say, "Keep jiggling, Peggy."
That's right.
The expression that I used as that character.
So you came to Hanna-Barbera for the Jetsons and then played Penelope Pitstop and Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes, I just did a personal appearance of Josie and the Pussycats with Sherry Alberoni, who was Mousketeer.
Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, I remember her. I didn't know her last name, but I remember.
And Jackie Joseph. We just did some personal appearances.
How wonderful.
I can't believe the people who still watch Josie and the Pussycats.
The popularity of all the Hanna-Barbera series continues to pass from generation to generation. And I wanted to ask you about when you were doing these programs, did you ever imagine that they would continue on and have this legacy that people would share with their children and grandchildren?
I never imagined it in my wildest dreams because it was just another show, another recording.
Right.
And, of course, it was fun because all of the people were so good. I mean, Doss Butler, Don Messick, Gene Vanderpile, Bea Benaderet, they were all radio performers formerly,
yes.
And they were brilliant. And I just loved doing it, but I had no idea that it would become such a
phenomenon. Well, here's a question I've always wanted to know. When you recorded the Jetsons, did you all record the shows together, or were your pieces recorded separately like they do now?
You are bringing up all the things that I love to talk about.
Well, good.
It was so much more fun. We were all together.
You were.
And we were all, you know, they would give us the dialogue and we'd all go off in corners and practice, you know, like an orchestra when they're performing.
Mm-hmm.
We would do our different voices and then Joe would put us on mic. And in fact, the very first session, I was terrified, of course, because having never done a series, a cartoon series, I was fascinated because Joe Barbera had the whole storyboard.
Right.
And he read the entire script from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
So we all knew just exactly what he wanted from us. And he used to take 6 hours to do the recordings of those first shows. He loved it, and we loved it, and Joe was quite a genius.
I had the good pleasure and great fortune of meeting both Mr. Hanna and Mr. Barbera years ago and really got to understand their individual personalities. And it was clear that the vision of the characters and the passion, a lot of that drive came from Joe and his imagination.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was so interesting because in those days he would say, gotta hear the words, gotta hear the words. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't do that so much now. But I have been very sad that they don't do the group readings because it's very helpful to know what the other people are doing and what tempos they're using and what energy they're using. And it's very helpful. I'm sad that I did a commercial for Judy not too long ago, and I did Judy all by herself, and then they brought in the young man who was doing George. And Elroy.
Yeah.
And I didn't work with him.
Right.
And I just felt so disappointed, you know, to just be by myself at the microphone.
Well, going back to that original group, I must ask you about George O'Hanlon.
Wonderful, wonderful actor. Wonderful man, would not do other voices.
Right.
He did George Jetson.
And the reason why we have a special affection for him here at the Warner Archive is we distribute all of the Joe McDoakes shorts.
Oh, he would love that.
That he did for Warner Brothers from 1942 to 56.
Oh, my God.
And we have a whole Joe McDoakes collection, and I always mention to people that he really carried over the Joe McDoakes character into the animated form of George Jetson. And people had not known about Joe McDoakes when we released the collection. And they said, wait a minute, I recognize that voice.
Joe tried a couple of other people or several other people before he settled on him. But he was so perfect. And, you know, as the years progressed and he was ill in his late years, Joe arranged for him to have special recording set up because he lost his vision. I don't know if you've heard about
that. No, I didn't know that.
And Joe would have someone read a line for him, and then he would read it in his own wonderful way.
That leads to another question. I think a lot of people don't know that The Jetsons was only one season, 1962 to 63 on ABC, one season, and that for over 20 years, it was just those same 20 or so episodes that continued to repeat. And then suddenly, 1984, 85, you get a phone call, I would assume, or whatever, and they say, hey, we're going to bring you all back together again and do new Jetsons.
Wasn't that wonderful?
How did that feel, and what was that like?
Oh, it was great. Well, you know, it was a nighttime show to begin with,
yes.
Opposite the wonderful world of Disney. Everybody was very hopeful, but, and you know, it was the first show, I think, in color, and they canceled it, and of course, everyone was very, very sad about that. But then it was on Saturday morning cartoons for 20 years.
Right.
And, received this huge following. I mean, my goodness. And then they brought us back, and we made new ones.
We've put out some of those new ones, and more of them are going to be coming the way to consumers as well, because people want more and more of the Jetsons. But it brought you and Penny Singleton, the voice of Jane Jetson, and George O'Hanlon, and Howard Morris.
Oh, Howard Morris. He was one of the first people I worked with in cartoons that I didn't know him too well, and he would stand up in front of the microphone and wave his arms around and do weird things, you know, which I had just come from films and
right.
Do anything like that. And he was so funny and so wonderful that it made me really want to do other voices because what he did.
And he did many other voices at Hanna-Barbera and also was on the Andy Griffith Show and is well known to people. I think some of our listeners may not know that he gained, I think, his initial fame as part of the repertory company on Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows. But, I mean, I think that all helped to make the Jetsons why, you know, it endured for so long and then came back to life. It's very rare that a show can regenerate so many years later, but it did to great success.
It was just amazing because, and, you know, after we had done the first 24 episodes, and then we were called back to do some new ones, they made us all re-audition. I'm sure you knew that.
No, I did not know that. That's very surprising.
We were all kind of, you know, not too happy about it, but we all auditioned and we all got our own parts back.
Oh, that's wonderful. When that happened, just being a longtime fan, I was so pleased. I said, I'm so glad that they had the good sense to bring back the original cast, because it wouldn't be the same without any of you.
Oh, that is, you are my favorite person.
Well, we want to talk today about the Jetsons Meet the Flintstones and Rockin' with Judy Jetson, which are two feature-length pieces that you did at Hanna-Barbera, because we've just released them on DVD. And can you tell us about, I guess, the Jetsons Meet the Flintstones came first, I think.
Yes, It did. And you know that we were hardly aware that that was a special, because we were just thrilled because the Jetsons meeting the Flintstones, we were all friends.
Right.
And we were all together, and we had a wonderful time doing it. And it was great fun, but we didn't quite realize that it was the first of its kind.
Right. And then Rockin' with Judy Jetson was really the first film that they put together that specifically focused on your character.
I know. I love it. I love it. Didn't you?
Yes. And we've had so many requests for it. That's why we've made it available now on DVD. So, and that's why
Oh, I'm so glad that you're doing that. Oh, Gleep, Glop, Fleagle, Flabble.
Yes.
Zab, Zam.
And on the
I loved doing that. And it was greatest fun.
And you sang songs in that as well.
Yes. All sorts of them. Well, the Gleep, Glop, Fleagle, Flabble, Zip, Zab, Zam song. And Gleep, Glop, Feeble, Fable, Zip, Zap, Zam. But it was sort of like Eep, Op, Ork, Ah.
Well, that was my next question. I was going to ask you about Eep, Op, Ork, Ah, because that was the big song that I remember from the original Jetson series, and Jet Screamer.
Yes, and actually, I have a story to tell. We were recording it. It was the second show of the series, although they did put it on as the first show, I think. And I was scheduled. They told me to come to a session at 3:00, and I got there at 3:00, and there was nobody else there. So I went shopping and came back at 4:00, and poor Bill Hanna was in the studio with an orchestra waiting for me, and the girl hadn't told me that I was coming ahead of the rest of the people.
Oh.
And we had about 10 minutes to do that song. Bill was so sweet and so wonderful, didn't scold me or say anything bad, and we did it in a short length of time, and it's still playing.
Janet Waldo, thank you so much for joining us today on the Warner Archive Collection podcast, where we celebrate the release of Rockin' with Judy Jetson and the Jetsons Meet the Flintstones, which are now available on DVD and electronic download at our website, warnerarchive.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. It's been an honor and a pleasure to speak with you.
It's been an honor for me. I will go any place to talk about Judy Jetson and the Jetsons.
Well, we really appreciate
that era of my life.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope we get to speak again soon.
I look forward to it, George.
Thank you so much, Janet.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.